We just sang, the bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he gives, but on his pierced hands. There's so many people in this world that look to glory. Oh, they want to kick up gold on the streets of heaven. Oh, they want crowns. They want little jewels in their crowns. They want to go to heaven. They don't want to go to hell. I'm going to ask you as plain as I can. What fool doesn't? If someone's a sane person in their seemingly human right mind, what fool wouldn't? What prisoner wouldn't be set free, be pardoned by the governor? You're free to go. You're not guilty. Walk out of this prison. You never have to come back. And that's why I'm going to hire a lawyer and I'm going to stay in here longer. You wouldn't put them, I wrote an article about that. You wouldn't put them back in prison, you put them in a loony bin. Something ain't right. Anybody knows that, don't they? God's going to regenerate his people. Give them life and a heart. Who doesn't want that? That's going to be the first resurrection, John tells us. And then there's coming a second resurrection. Christ is going to come to this world and judge it. Judge it on your works. Whether you're good or evil. Kevin, you preach grace this whole time. What are you doing? I'm telling you what God says. We'll see. We'll see. Do you want to be good in that day or do you want to be evil in that day? Do you want to be a goat or do you want to be a sheep? What fool wouldn't want to be a sheep? What fool, what ignorant, stupid person would want to be evil and want to have eternal damnation? What person wants Christ? Are you going to have to live in eternity in a grass hut instead of a mansion? Is it with him? I like grass hut, that's fine. Won't bother me one bit in the world. You can never drive a Ford or a Chevy again or whatever. That's fine. You got to walk. I get to be with him. Do I get to walk next to him? So many people want the benefits of glory. They want eviction from this law that they're cursed under that they can't keep. And they seek things and they seek to have their bellies filled with bread and fishes. The bread and fishes of the gospel because it behooves them. It's of their benefit and that's what they seek. I pray that we could seek a person. Our bridegroom. The one who laid down his life for the bride. I'd give my life for that woman. She needs a kidney, she can have it. She needs two, she can take both of them. My Lord told me to do that. I happily do that because I love her. Because he loved me and he laid down his life for me. I needed something I didn't have. And he went out of his way. He condescended to this earth, became a man, lived perfectly for me. I hope we can see the oneness of Christ. Those that he came to live for and die for, you know when you were born? If you're his, you were born in a manger, in poverty, out in the stables. You know what you did when you were 12? You told your parents, I must be about my father's business. You live perfectly on this earth because that's how one Christ is with his people. And his people want to be with him. Wherever, however. It'll be majestic because he's there. He's not where majesty is. It's majestic where he is. And that's what I want us to see. Here in John 5. Lord has us go out and use what he gives us. I had a cousin. I think he has 5 or 6 master's degrees now. A PhD. The man ain't never held a job. He ain't used a one of them. That ain't what school's for, is it? Lord didn't intend for his children to learn of him, for him to give them life, and then to sit at home and read about it all the time and talk on their phones about it, discuss theology and things like that. This here is your practical. The Lord teaches us in his church house, and then we go out into this world. and he shows us things, and he applies what we learn here. This ain't a Wednesday and a Sunday gig. This is life. Life. That's where he shows us. You want to learn about mercy? He's going to make you be merciful to somebody. And that's going to be somebody that don't deserve it. That's what mercy is. You learn about his rainbow. That's what a couple of us experienced that this week. We learn about who that rainbow is. Not what it is. Not, well, we ain't going to drown no more. That's Christ is who that is. That's my Lord. And then he tells you that here. And then you go out and you see a rainbow. And boy, I smiled like I ain't never smiled before. God, I see a whole start to finish today. It's wonderful. We experience him. He shows us these things out and about. I try to touch on things that lead up to the message for that day. I went through a course one time and they said this is a progressive course. Especially math's a great thing. Math's a progressive course. If you don't learn what 1 plus 1 is, you ain't going to learn X, Y, and Z. You're not going to make it through algebra. But as we go through these things, I want to touch back as I remember on what we've looked at already. And so that's something to not chew on the briars and take it easy listening to other pastors. If it's a midweek service or something like that, they might have not explained everything they built on last week. And you may not be around for what they're building this week for next week. And so if some of those things come off, seem off a cuff, don't blame them. That ain't your paddock. Just say okay and go on. Maybe next week will be a little bit different for you. But I want us to see what we've learned. Tonight we're going to look at the regeneration and resurrection of the heart of a believer. And then the resurrection of this body. What's going to happen when the Lord comes? What we're going to see. What all men and women on this earth are going to see. You're going to watch it happen. And then that judgment. What's going to happen in that judgment of all those resurrected souls and bodies? What's our Lord going to do? He says in John 5:18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, boy, that made him mad, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And he answers them. Here's the first truly, truly we looked at 2 weeks ago. Truly, truly, he is God. He says in verse 19, John 5:19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, trustworthy, truly, amen, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. They're one. They're one. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He gives life. God gives life. Christ gives life. Yes, they're one. They're one. That's where life comes from. The Father highly exalted him, glorified him, gave him a name above every name. It says in verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son. What did David say? Kiss the Son. Kiss his feet. Love him. Honor him. Even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Here's the truly, truly that we looked at last week. He's God, and he's the God of salvation. If somebody's going to be saved, Christ is going to do it. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, not listeneth to my word. There's a whole mess of people that's listened to the gospel. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Those that believe on him, those that currently have life, have a work done in them, right now they're alive. You are alive right now. And you will always be. And condemnation and judgment shall not come to you. It ain't going to happen. We've passed from death unto life. We were dead. There was a journey, and we're alive. The Lord worked in us. We're his workmanship. We're alive. And here's the third verily, verily in this chapter. He's going to call out those that are his who have not heard him yet. He spoke in verse 24 of those that currently know Him, those that believe Him, those that have a heart to hear Him and worship Him. And now He's saying, I'm going to call out mine that don't know me yet. Verse 25, verily, verily, of a truth, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. There were children of God that had not yet been spiritually born, and Christ was going to call them out. He was going to come to them. They're dead. Grave. Have you ever been dead? A whole lot of people ain't never been dead. Most people haven't ever been just graveyard dead in sin. They're dead in sin. They might be religious. They may go to church a whole bunch. They may have the Bible memorized front to back, and in Greek and in Hebrew and everything else. But they're graveyard dead. And when God comes to them, Christ, who is God, and in power, speaks to them, gives them life, they hear and they live. They hear and they live. But these children hadn't been born yet, and He's going to come to them. There might be some here tonight that's never heard and lived. God may call it last saint home tonight. We may watch bodies come out of the grave here in just a few minutes. Wouldn't that be something? Depending on when our Lord's return, He may have children that haven't heard Him yet that aren't born yet. You think He can preserve them? You think He can preserve their physical seed so they show up? Can He keep them in providence until they hear His word? You better believe He can. But that hour is appointed if they're His. Every child that's given to Him, there's an appointed hour when He will come to them in the preaching of the gospel, of the truth, and speak to their heart and give them life. The hour of spiritual birth. They're dead in their flesh until He speaks a word in power. Until He comes in power. And they hear it and they live. He gives them ears to hear. And when they do, they live. There's a life and there are signs of life. Can you tell the difference between a dead body and a live body? It ain't hard, is it? Take a pulse. It ain't hard. That's called regeneration. Regeneration. Lord gives life. That's the resurrection of the soul. That's the first resurrection. That's what John wrote to us in Revelation 20. He said, blessed and holy is the man who has known something about this first resurrection. They're blessed. And you know what? They're holy. Because they have Christ abiding in them. They're alive. He says in verse 26, John 5, 26. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. He told Nicodemus of verily, verily. He said, you must be born again. You must be given life from Almighty God. The Son's going to do that. Verse 27 says, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He's the Son of Man. He came to this earth, and He's going to judge this earth. Because He's the man that lived perfectly to God, under His law, in spirit and in truth and in attitude, His entire life. And He's risen. That sacrifice He made Himself was accepted. And He's going to be the judge, by whom all will be judged. If you think you're a pretty good person, you're going to come up short. I promise. He says in verse 28, those are things that the Lord gave. He said, I'm going to save my people. I'm God. Those that are alive right now with spiritual life, I gave it to them. They heard. And those that are mine, that hadn't even been born yet, I'm going to come to them. He's going to save every one of His. He's not going to lose a one. And what did He tell those Pharisees at one time? He said, what's easier for you? Would it be easier for a man if I said, take up your bed and walk, or your sins be forgiven? They said, well, your sins be forgiven. You're just saying that. You wash away something we can't see. That's easier done for a man, isn't it? Here's what He says. Marvel not, verse 28, at this. Don't marvel at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. What about this real resurrection? Turn over to John 11, just a few pages. John 11. I was driving downtown the other day and I saw a billboard and it said, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Well, that's part truth. Jesus isn't just alive. He's life. He's life. It's not that He is alive. Me and you are physically alive, aren't we? He is life. What else is He? Verse 22, John 11, 22. Martha's speaking to our Lord, and she said, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. She said, but I know, verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Lord, I know he'll rise. You've said so. This isn't something new. Enoch spoke of this. Job, who was born probably before Abraham, spoke of this. She said, I know. When that final day comes, he'll live. He's yours. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. People make movies left and right about the rapture and all these squiggly wiggly religious nonsense movies. Oh, rapture's coming and the pilots are going to go and all the planes are going to crash. That's what people think resurrection is. It's to think rapture and all these things are. It's a person. Well, we wrap our heads around that. That's not a doctrine all of a sudden, is it? The resurrection is not a theological position. It's a person. Life's a person. The first resurrection and the second resurrection. An eternal life. It's a person. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You believe this? Martha, you believe this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. You're Him. You're the resurrection. Your life is what she's saying. Your life right now, in that day of judgment, your life, and forevermore, you're my life. That's what she says. Not everybody believed that. Some people don't even believe there's going to be a resurrection. They think we're just worm food. And after this is over, lights out. That's all she wrote. What a sad thing. What a horrible thing to do. Some don't believe it now. There's some high-minded folks. Turn over to Luke 20. Luke chapter 20. The Sadducees didn't believe that. They were high-minded folks. Theologians. Way up there, educated. Read books all day long. What time they went out picking on everybody. What time they went picking religious fights and having debates and intellectual conversations, which is horrendous. It's horrendous. And they didn't believe that there was going to be a resurrection. And so they came to our Lord and they gave Him this parable, which was ridiculous. They were ridiculous. Their position was ridiculous. And the hypothetical situation that they laid out for our Lord is nonsense to begin with. But they thought they were going to get Him. We're going to corner Him. We're going to trap Him up in His words. You know, people come after me that studied for like probably weeks and they orchestrated their words just so to try to pigeonhole me and sharpshoot me. Like, hey, I'm coming off the hip. Should I be surprised? I shouldn't be. Here in verse 34, these seven brothers, they all ended up married to one woman. The oldest brother married her, and he died. So it's the next brother, it's his obligation to marry her. He died, then the next one, then he died. And now we're down to the seventh brother. And this one woman, she ain't had a child for none of them. And they said, in the resurrection that they don't believe in, whose wife is she going to be? Who's she going to be married to out of these seven brothers? Verse 34, Luke 20, 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world, not my world, not my kingdom, children of this world, are given in marriage. They marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. And the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. That doesn't mean we don't get married on this earth. That means in glory we won't be married. And we're not going to give in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. Well, that's different too, isn't it? For they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Being children of God. Christ is our resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Four. Why did Moses call this at the burning bush? For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. Turn back to Exodus chapter 3. Let's look at that again. Christ is the resurrection of the body, and he's the resurrection of the soul. And many times we read this throughout our lives in Exodus 3 of Moses and that flaming bush that was not consumed speaking to him. And we think, well, the Lord's just prepping him. He's getting him ready. Did you know that that's concerning the resurrection? That's how God saves sinners on this earth. How he saves his people. And that's how he's going to preserve them in that final day. That's going to be our accounting. That's going to be our judgment for the believer. Did you know that? How did I know that? Christ just said it, didn't he? The one who spoke to Moses in that bush, God Almighty, told us, here's what I meant whenever I was talking to Moses out of that bush. Let me shed some light on it. Isn't that something? He says in verse 1, Exodus 3, verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld, behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Don't bring nothing with you. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Our Lord said, he said all this because he's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. What does that mean? How could these things be? He said, I am the God of your father, Moses. What a blessing it is to have believing parents. Them children don't know, your children don't know how blessed it is. Even just as a walk in this world, you're going to have an easier time. What a blessing it is to have believing parents. To teach you. That's a great blessing of the Lord. And he says, the God of Abraham. That's our father, Abraham. We're his spiritual seed. We're the seed of Abraham, we who believe. That promised seed. That's a covenant. God made a covenant with our father, Abraham. And he said, go outside and look up. You see all them stars? That's how many seeds you're going to have. That's going to be your children. They're going to exceed the number of the stars. Can you count them? He said, no, Lord. But I believe you. A covenant was made with Abraham. And then Isaac. He said, I'm the God of Isaac. What's Isaac? What is that? That's substitution. What he had promised in the covenant before Isaac showed up. Isaac was took up on that mountain. And Abraham was going to kill him. And God sent himself. He sent a lamb, didn't he? For us, he sent himself. A covenant was made with the Father. A substitution was what took place. And the God of Jacob. Well, if I could find Jacob, I'd have something to tell him. What do you think of when you think of Jacob? Supplanter. Deceiver. Slimy. Slippery. He's a sinner. What's the resurrection of life? God made a covenant. He sent himself as a substitute for a bunch of sinners. Undeserving worms. Worms. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You think he hid it up? He bowed. Oh, Lord. He gives life. He resurrects the soul and his people on this earth. And they believe him in this life, and they follow him. He said so. And then that final day comes. There was a covenant made. A substitute came. Lord, I'm a sinner and I need mercy. I need someone to be my substitute. That'd be that final day. And that's what we'll sing for glory, for eternity. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. We'll pray. We'll honor the Son as we honor the Father. Truly. Truly. Not like we just want to now, but we'll honor him. We'll honor him. After our Lord's complete in regenerating all of his elect, after he comes to him and he reveals what we are, reveals who Christ is, and that all that judgment is finished. It's done. When it's finished. And those sheep that were in him before time began, those with him as he walked this earth, those that are with him now. And after that last one is given life, there'll be a resurrection of the body. He'll come back the second resurrection. And he'll raise all the dead from the ground. Turn back in our text here in John 5. Remember who he's talking to. These are enemies. These are self-righteous religionists that's come to him to henpeck him. And he tells them in verse 28, marvel not at this. I don't think they probably entered into all that. I pray they did, but a lot there, isn't it? It's the words of God, Almighty God speaking. And he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Here's what you'll marvel at. In which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. You think of the power. And they shall come forth. Every person from Adam until that last person that's on the face of this earth is going to come forth. Christ, who is God, who saves sinners, who shall save his people, who will keep them to the end and keep them for eternity, is going to come. And at his voice, he's going to say, come forth. Just like he did to Lazarus. That's why he said, Lazarus, call him a come forth. If he'd have just said, come forth, boy, the whole earth would have come loose. You think of the power of that. I dwelled on that a lot this week. I drove around a lot, and every pothole, water would fly out of it, and I thought, oh boy, I wonder if there's dust in that water hole. There's grime all over my car. The Lord said, you came from dust, and to dust you're going to return. That's what he told us in Genesis 3. What's this body do after it dies? It goes away. Worms eat it. Well, they carry it all over the place, don't they? Bones, you leave them in the ground for thousands and thousands and thousands. They're going to go away. It's going to be dust, elements, powder. And he has the power to come and say, come forth. And every dust is going to go back to that body. He's going to bring them up again. And he's going to send souls back to them. Back to them. And he has the power and knowledge and wisdom not only to make this miraculous thing happen. We're all going to see that. If he comes in my lifetime, I think he will. Ain't a believer that ever lived that didn't think he's coming. I think he will in my lifetime. But if I go to glory first, I'll still see this. Every man, those Pharisees that didn't believe on him, they're going to see it too. They're going to come out of the seas. They're going to come out of the dirt. I had an aunt one time that didn't believe in organ donation. And she said, what happens during the resurrection? There'll be livers going all over the place. How are they going to find the right body? I said, God bring us back from the dust. And regenerate us, I think he can put a liver where he wants it. If he made the liver, he can put it where he wants it. This ain't too hard. You think too little of God. That's what he's able to do. And those souls that he sends back to those bodies that he's made, that's come out of the sea and come out of the ground, he knows everything about every soul he puts back in there. What knowledge, and we don't have a good grasp on it. We can't enter into these things. The infinite, trillions and quadrillions of people. And he knows every breath he ever took because he gave it to you. That's who's going to judge this world. This ain't some kind of flimsy county sheriff sitting behind a piece of wood. It's God Almighty. That's what's going to happen. And this judgment, after this, he says there in Matthew 27, I don't have to turn to it, we're running short on time. But whenever our Lord gave up the ghost, he said, it's finished. And he gave up the ghost. And the earthquake The ground shook. The veil rent from top to bottom. And you know what happened? The saints that were asleep, their bodies in there, they come out of the ground and walk through town. Because his life, that's how the power of his life. And he went to the ground, they came back out. What a day that'll be. We'll get to see that. You're going to be good or bad whenever that comes. He says in verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I want life. Don't you? Doesn't the same person, but there's a problem with that. There's a problem with those that's done good. Paul wrote to us and says, as it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. But the Lord's got a people He's going to save. How are they going to be good? Ain't one of us good. What then is it to do good? What is it when someone does good? We labored this a long time, and it's progressive course. The time we spent together, 2 years, we went back, and we went through 1 John, didn't we? Those that do righteousness, those that do good, that's believing on Christ, believing on God, and loving our brethren. And that's loving Him. It's Christ that dwells in you. That's doing good, isn't it? Turn over to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and we'll close. There ain't an unrighteous person that don't think that they're righteous. Oh, I believed on God. Oh, I've done good things. I read my Bible. I got a list of, somebody finds out I'm a preacher, I don't even tell people half the time. They flood me. All the good things they've done. And how good they are. There ain't none good, no, not one. Somebody come to me as a sinner. A whole mess of people ain't never come to me and say, I'm just a wretch. Well, I'm thankful for Christ, for His blood. I'm horrible. I just feel dead all the time. I'm cold all the time. I ain't no good in me. And I spend most of my days thinking that I don't know God. That's how I feel. Your old pastor used to feel the same way. He says it all the time. He used to say it. I just wake up every day feeling cold and empty and dead. I was sitting all day today. I just couldn't do nothing. I'd have a message for you. It's killing me on the inside. Lord, why won't you speak to me? Why won't you give me something out of your word? Am I yours? If I ain't, don't let me speak in your name. Cut my tongue out. Take my life from me, Lord. Don't let me do it. And I feel so dead most of the time. But I know I'm alive because He's my life. This ain't my weekend girlfriend. That's my bridegroom. He's mine. Well, if you don't feel like, there's times I would imagine, every now and then, sometimes, that Kimberly may not be just totally happy with me. that may happen. That's my wife, isn't it? I'm still her husband. No matter how I feel, I'm His, and He is mine. Because I trust Him, and I know Him, and I believe Him. And anytime I look to myself, they ain't nothing. The righteous always think themselves to be unrighteous. And the unrighteous can't stop telling everybody how good they are. That's truth, isn't it? Look here at Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. This is when all those bodies come out of the ground. Quadrillions. How many there's been, I don't know. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. How's an inheritance come? One, you got to be a child. Two, somebody's got to die. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Boy, that'll change how we deal with strangers, isn't it? Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him. Those that do good, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee? Lord, when did we see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed thee? When did we see you sick or in prison and came unto me? Well, we didn't do these things. I didn't do this. I've done nothing good. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. I'm one with my people. That's what he's saying. How you treat believers is how you treat God. It ought to make children of any spine. They broke into Kimberly's van a couple years ago and stole her purse. Somebody said, Boy, I wish you could get your hands on him. And there's part of him it does, don't get me wrong. But I said, they took God's anointed purse. They took his daughter's purse. He allowed it to happen. If you've done it to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Verse 41. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, those that do evil. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer unto him, saying, Lord, sounds the same, doesn't it? When saw we thee and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? I've kept these from my youth up. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The believer has no need to fear death and judgment. Those that stand in the merit of Christ alone, in His person, who He is, who that sacrifice was, what that sacrifice accomplished, that it's finished. You're plumb holy. You can't get no more holy. Why? You're as righteous as Christ is righteous. He's the Lord our righteousness. That's how He shall be called. And she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. From God who cannot lie. That's what He said. We have no need to fear death. We have no need to fear judgment. There's no double jeopardy. We have a holy God. We don't just have a sovereign God. We have one that's holy and right and just and good. We have no need to fear these things. So often I feel dead and cold, but I know I have life because He's my life. I've done no good. He's the only one good. God saved His people when they entered into that covenant. Before time began, before Adam came on this earth, the Father looked at the Son and said, I'm going to make a whole kingdom just like Him. They're going to fall. They're going to sin. And they can't save themselves. And the Son said, I'll stand for them. Put them in me. And He did. He saved us then. Then He came to this earth. And He accomplished it on Calvary's cross. And He comes to His people in 2021. For the next couple of days. 2022 if He sees fit to let it happen. He comes to them and He saves them. He speaks to them in power. He gives them life. Eternal life. And He continues to save them in this world until that last day comes. Either when we die or He comes and we shall be saved for eternity. You save a man out of the ocean. When they're out of the ocean, you ain't got to save them no more. They're in the boat. Sit down and eat a sandwich. You're fine. Put a blanket on. Drink some hot cocoa. When this life's over, this death of ocean, and we're plucked out of it. However that may come to pass. then we're with Him. We're made like Him, and we see Him face to face. We'll be with Him in glory. We're going to be with the person. And those that want to be with Him, a person, and they see Him as He is, they'll be with Him, and they'll be made like Him. Won't that be something? What a day that'll be. Lord, haste the day, huh?